This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Great Heart Doctor.
Your heart is the greatest pump ever created. You ready for the stats? Facts. It's 5 inches long, it's 3.5 inches wide, and 2.5 inches from front to back. A female heart weighs 9 ounces. You ready, men? We need a diet. The male heart, 10.5 ounces. What's this all about? The average heart beats 72 times per minute. 100,000 beats a day. 38 million beats per year. And if you've reached the ripe old age of 70, I'll have to go backward, that's 2.5 billion beats. You do the math. Because it pumps blood throughout the body, and the Bible says life is in the body, the Bible implies the heart is the center of human life. Proverbs 14:30 says this, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. You have a good heart in terms of your physicality, you go a long way. Besides being the life-giving, life-sustaining pump in the circulatory system, there are a number of other ways that the Bible is using the word heart. And here are just seven of them. In Psalm 4:7, it says, the heart is the center of the emotions. In that verse says, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says that there's something evil. The heart has an evil side. And the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? 1 Samuel 24:5 says that the heart is the seat of the conscience. That the Bible says that Paul's heart was hurt because he had done something to the king. Matthew 12:35, the heart is the seat of our actions. And that verse says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. Using the heart in different ways. And in Matthew 15:18, it says the heart is the source of our words. Those things which proceed out of the mouth, the Bible says, come first from the heart. And Matthew 9:4 says that the heart is the seat of your thoughts. The verse says, wherefore ever think ye evil in your heart. And then lastly, Matthew 12:40 says the heart is the center of anything and everything. Jesus would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and the Bible says, in the heart of the earth. Now you say, well, those verses there kind of give the impression that the Bible's really an antique book. Who uses phrases like that anymore? But actually, the way it uses the term heart makes it timeless. Because in 2017, you use the word heart in the same way. The dictionary says the heart is thought of as the vital center of one's being, emotions, sensibilities, character, courage, and thought. Right there in the dictionary, it says that. And you sometimes say, I've memorized things by heart. You say, I've had a change of heart. You tell somebody who seems to be a little rough, why don't you have a heart? Boom, 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 they have it. But that's what you're talking about. Or you sympathize with somebody who has a broken heart. So we use the word heart in a variety of ways, not just the pump inside our body, circulating blood throughout. Furthermore, the Bible describes 50 kinds of heart. Imagine, here's a sample. It talks about a broken heart. It talks about a grieved heart. It talks about a discouraged heart. It talks about a proud and stubborn heart. It talks about a hard heart. I had to slow down for that one. Hard heart. And it talks about a soft heart. It talks about a heavy heart. And it talks about a wise heart, a wicked heart, a merry heart, a bitter heart, a deceitful heart, and a compassionate heart. Any of those describe my heart? Your heart? Our God is the great cardiologist, because as Psalm 44:21 writes, he searches and knows the secrets of the heart. There's nothing going on inside here that God doesn't know and God doesn't see. Wherever Jesus connected with people, whether it was one person or thousands of persons, those connections were never superficial. Jesus looked into each and every person's heart. He read them. 1 Samuel 6:7 says this, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." And so when Jesus came in contact with somebody, he not only saw their physicality, he not only saw them the way you and I see them, he went right through them, read their thoughts, read their mind, read their heart, and knew where they were coming from. He knew who was lying to him. I mean, we have people face to face with us sometimes. They'll promise they're going to do something, they say something, and we think it's the truth only to find out that it wasn't. We can't differentiate a lot of times between truth and falsehood. But Jesus could. He knew who was trying to give him a song and dance. He could see all the secrets. He could see all the pain, all the joy, sorrow, confusion, motives, and expectation. He shared that deeper examination of the heart many times. Sometimes Jesus would use a parable to demonstrate how the heart operated in a spiritual sense. And so I'd like to share one of those parables with you this morning and make it the text of my message. It's found in Luke chapter 8, and it's verses 4 to 15. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. It's going to be up on here in PowerPoint in a minute. Probably there faster than I am. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. Let's stand together as we read God's holy word out of respect for it this morning. Luke chapter 8, 4 to 15. Ready? "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, which and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures in this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Thank you. You may be seated. In the gospel, Jesus often uses simple stories, we call them parables, that employ everyday things to kind of get his illustration across about spiritual truths. So he wants to teach something spiritual, and he takes this group of folks who are fishermen or farmers, and he explains something to them which has some real profound things for us today. This parable is about a seed sower. It's about some seeds. It's about soil and rocks and road signs and thorns and the good earth. And you wonder how you can turn something profound from that. It starts out with the disciples asking very probing and profound questions. What's this story about again? I guess they had the same reaction we do. Jesus, what are you trying to tell us? There's something here. It's a mystery. It's kind of hidden, but would you reveal it to us? And so first he tells the parable, and then he tells the explanation. And the explanation kind of goes along like this. He tells him he's revealing secrets of the heart people could never discover on their own. Because the truth is God revealed. The truth is God revealed. He tells them without God's sight, we are blind. He says without God's ears, we are deaf. So if you're not looking at this with eyes of the Spirit, you're going to miss it because you're blind. Blind and deaf to life's realities swirling all around us. When Jesus looks out at a crowd, he sees our hearts with its potential for good and evil. He sees our best and he sees our brokenness. He sees our pride and our arrogance. He sees our capacity to love and nurture, and he sees our capacity to hate and destroy. To God's eyes, nothing is hidden. We don't even really know ourselves. It takes the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us things about ourselves that we're sometimes not even aware of. We're not aware of perhaps how far away we've drifted from God. How when we hear things about Jesus, when we hear God's word being preached to us, it begins to sound a little foreign to our ears because our ears have been captivated by other voices. He wants to bring it home to us. He knows what's going on in my heart. He describes how the heart's effect on a person's response to the gospel. He said people hear the gospel, they hear the truth, and then a variety of things happen. What makes one person faithful and dedicated and on fire while somebody else just gets cool and walks away? So he begins to explain what that is, and he uses it in the illustration of seed and soil. In verse 11, the seed being sown, it says, is the word of God. That's the seed. You can't save anybody. All you can do is share with them what Jesus has done in your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I am a child of his. And as you share the love of Jesus Christ and the word of Jesus Christ with people, you're being Johnny Appleseed. You are spreading God's word to the people around you. The word is being preached by using words that are heard. Words spoken that are heard. Verse 12 says, it's Satan's job to keep us from hearing the words of God. But it goes on. It says, but if you hear them, the devil will prevent you from understanding. And then it goes on to say, if you understood them, then he'll try to make you forget them. And if you won't forget them, then he'll try to get you to disobey them. Let me run by that one more time. What is Satan trying to do when you hear a message like this or any message, or you hear something from God's word that touches your heart? What does the devil try to do? He tries to first keep you from hearing this. You have something else going on. Don't bother coming in. But if you hear it, then he'll prevent you from understanding it. Step number one, I don't get it. And if you happen to understand it, or if you finally get understanding, then he's going to try to make you forget it. Never bring it back to your memory when you need it the most. And if you won't forget God's promises and God's warnings, then the devil will take the next step. He will encourage you to disobey them. You should know better. Why don't we? Because the devil is at work trying to keep us from doing that which God would have us to do. Someone has to sow the seed. Someone has to be a witness to what Christ has done in their life. Someone has to be willing to go and step outside of their comfort zone and plant a seed. That person is you and me. It's not my job to reach the world for Jesus. It's all of our job. I can do it in my sphere of influence, but I don't know any of the people probably in your sphere of influence. I'll never reach some of the people who you know, but you see them regularly. What are you doing to spread the seed of Jesus' love and Jesus' truth and the person of Jesus to them? What are you doing? You're the seed sower in this parable. That sower, that seed planter, is Christ working through you. The ground is where you are, at home, at school, or next door. The seed sown will fall on four types of soil. Verse 12 says that that soil represents the heart of the hearer. Okay. So you do have the courage to speak to your sister, your brother, your cousin, your aunt, your dad, your mom, your children, your friend, your best friend, your neighbor, your coworker, whatever it was that the Holy Spirit put in you that lighted up to think about that person coming to know Jesus and you sharing it. So now what happens as you share that seed with them? And so now that's what Jesus is going to talk about. Here's what happens to the receiver when you, the sender, give the message of the gospel. Here's what happened. Number one, verse 12. There are four of these. It talks about soil by the wayside. This is the unresponsive heart. In the parable, talking about the soil by the wayside is the unresponsive heart. So let me explain. What Jesus says, it's like throwing soil on the garden walkway. Like throwing it on the brick, like throwing it on the slate, like throwing it on the concrete. It's like throwing it there. The seed lands on the path, the rocks. The seed is visible. You can see it because it landed on the path. But it doesn't take root. It just lays there for all to see and considers the and consider the devil comes alongside the one considering the gospel and Satan whispers in their ear. Okay, so here's the word's gone out. It falls on a person's heart. And all of a sudden, since there's no way for that soul to take place, the devil begins to speak. And he says things like this: science has proved there is no God. So you've just shared a witness with somebody. And the devil's immediately there. He sees something on television. She sees something at school. The science has proved there's no God. These Christians, you don't want to follow these Christians. They're all hypocrites. As if the only place where hypocrisy takes place is within these four walls and this roof. Excuse me, hypocrisy seems to be the oil of society. It's everywhere. In fact, I think we're starting to sound a lot less hypocritical in the words, in the ears of the world, given the amount of hypocrisy that goes on. They're only out for your money. That's another thing you hear about Christians in the church. You're having too much fun for now, the devil says. You're too young. Live your life, sow your wild oats, do what you got to before you know it, you're 62. And you got to the place where the only wild oats you're sowing are made by Quaker. You have them for breakfast every morning. And then they go on to tell kids, you know, it's not cool to be a Christian. That's a big thing. You're one of them. And you don't want to identify yourself as a Christian because after all, that's the current bad guy. It's not cool to be a Christian. All these things coming. None of your friends are Christians. So that person's heart is like the garden path, hard against the gospel. I just don't want to hear it right now. Number two, verse 13, talks about soil covering a rock. That's impulsive heart. That's the impulsive heart. People who receive the gospel, but the faith doesn't work for them. Have you ever met somebody like that? They talk about being a Christian, then you watch and you say, what in the world? Is that what a Christian is? Who's a real Christian here? The soil over the rock is too shallow to support faith life. True faith can't take hold long enough to change a life. They've come to the place where they're really not allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. They're not allowing God's word to change them. They're not allowing themselves to sit in the church and hear what God has to say. They're not getting themselves in daily meditation. They're not getting themselves in daily prayer. They got saved. They went forward. They might have even gotten baptized. They've gone through that whole regimen, but it isn't taking hold. The soil was so thin that it wasn't being able to get the roots to go way down. They believe for a while, they seem all out, but at the first sign of real trouble or testing, they fall away. These people were not in it for the long haul. Have you seen people like that? Do you know people like that? In my experience of being a Christian since 1955, I have seen people get baptized 1 week and you never see them after that. Why? Because they think they did it. They think that was it. Number three, verse 14. Soil crowded out by thorns. Soil crowded over by thorns. The preoccupied heart. A preoccupied heart. This is the heart that has received the word, but has allowed legitimate matters, the cares of the world, illegitimate matters, money, position, possession, lust, other things, to take priority over being a committed Christian. These are the Christians with so much spiritual potential, but the heart can only hold so much. They've got so much going on in their life that they continually start squeezing God and Christ and the church and spiritual things in a smaller and smaller corner of their life because they're so preoccupied with other things. This is pretty much illustrative of the time in which we live. So many things going on. If your kids are in soccer, when does soccer practice take place or the games take place? Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Uffa, as they say in Italian. What is going on over here? The believers have filled their lives with so many things, there's no room for spiritual fruit to blossom and mature. They have the wrong priorities, and what's worse, they won't do anything to change those priorities. Verse number 4, verse 15. Good soil. That was the last thing Jesus talked about. Good soil, which is the fruit-bearing heart. The fruit-bearing heart. The word is heard and received, and this is the heart that bears fruits of faith, obedience, and faithfulness. This is the heart that retains the word and remains steadfast. This is the heart that hungers for the truth of Scripture and meditates on those truths daily. This is the heart that brings forth fruit for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In the final analysis, only God knows the heart, and only God can change the heart. Only God knows your heart as it is right now, and only God knows what needs to be changed, and then is the one that can change it. Ezekiel 11:19 says this, I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Only God can make the hardest heart soft. What about your heart? What about my heart? Is your heart hardened to the voice of God? Have you been in this church week after week, month after month, year after year, and never asked Jesus into your heart? Have you said no to God when He's opened up the doors of opportunity to witness to somebody about Him? Have you said no? Is your heart hardened to the idea and the reality of a divine appointment? Do you pray each day for a divine appointment that God will open the door for you to be able to speak to somebody about what Jesus has done in your life, that you care enough to share Him? Have you said no to God in your study of the Word? You get into God's Word daily, or is it the only time the Bible is ever opened up on a Sunday? Do you meditate on God's Word? Do you pray? Is your heart shallow? Ready to give up, walk away, discouraged, disappointed, negative, apathetic. You've just been so put off by things that you've decided to push God completely out of the picture. Is your heart entangled? Busy world, busy life, busy schedule. What happens in this church over the next 12 months evolves you. Would you be too busy to be involved in the ministry here? Is your heart on good soil? With God's help, keep on keeping on. If you're already at a place where your heart is right with the Lord, don't quit. Don't give up now. Hang on. You've been serving the Lord and you've been faithful to the Lord and your heart's been right with the Lord. You, like me, like all Christians together, we have our ups and downs. We have our strong moments and we have our weak moments. We have our fears and we have our doubts, but the one thing we don't do is we don't give up. We don't quit. The one thing we want is to be faithful to the Lord and never give up the fight. Allow Him to work through us that each and every day we may be able to go on and help somebody who needs the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I don't do it, then who will? And tomorrow is not good enough. The next time the Lord gives you an opportunity to be sowing seed, it's not your job to worry about the soil. It's just your job to present the seed. What happens when the hearer receives the gospel is up to them and the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Closing thought. Someone wrote, I think it was a kid, what can I give them, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring them a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give them? I'll give them my heart. Will you give them your heart? Believer, let's not be half-hearted this morning. Let's be all out. Let's give it all. Let's give it all. Let's give it all to Jesus this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you know our heart. Do we need a heart replacement? Do we need a pacemaker? Only you know, and we have the idea. I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Lord. I pray that you would build a fire in us to reach those around us, those in our community, those in our home, those in our school or place of business, those who are our friends, and those who are just acquaintances, that A, they would see the light of Jesus in us, and B, when asked by them what's different about us, that C, we would answer, it's Jesus. He's changed my heart, and I'm all out for him. I pray that this message would not just fall on deaf ears or preoccupied ears, but those who really want to take the next step and grow and grow and grow and be fruitful for the kingdom. In Christ's name.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.